Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Night of the Fan. I'm JD Bunkus, alias Forfar. Big fan of our next guest. Always fun to chat with. It's LaTroy Hawkins, former Major League pitcher, current Twins TV analyst, and a guy who enjoyed a Timmy's Muffin or two when he was in town. What's up, buddy? How are we doing?
What's up, guys? I had a couple of those muffins while I was there this last weekend.
I was just gonna say, like, how long till you got one right away? You just immediately?
Yeah, I waited until Friday morning. I didn't get it on Thursday when we got in.
Wait, you're a chocolate chip guy, right? Like, that was your move, chocolate chip. I was like, I love that though.
Blueberry.
That's what Timmy's called.
Blueberry.
That's your blueberry. One. Blueberry. Yeah. Okay.
The most important is: do you eat the top of the muffin first, or do you save that because it's the best part and eat the bottom part first?
I pick at it and eat it first, the top.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I honestly,
you can't wait, eh?
I would be very disappointed. I would be very disappointed if a guy with your career earnings even ate the bottom of the muffin. Like, you know, that's the luxury of having a big league career.
Garbage.
Is that you can just have multiple of the muffins and only eat the top. Like, don't worry, just only eat the top. By the way, this insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Again, it is LaTroy Hawkins. So I'll start with this, LaTroy. Yesterday, it looked like the Twins saw something with Kevin Gausman. They were laying off the splitter to, like, an extreme degree, and I wonder, when you're watching that, if you either saw what the Twins were picking up or ever empathized with Gausman, like, if there was a time in your career that you just immediately go back to where you're like, oh my god, when a team has your number with one of your best pitches, how demoralizing that must feel.
Well, you know, the Twins have definitely had a lot of success against Gausman over the, you know, in the past. He has like almost 8 ERA against him. But I think they definitely did a really good job of, you know, going against what they really wanted to do, and that's to swing at that split. And, you know, their mindset was, if it's down, if it's low, you just let it go. And, you know, that's how Gausman get a lot of strikeouts. You know, teams like to chase their split finger because it's a really good, nasty pitch. But the Twins did a good job not swinging at that pitch, man. They were all over the fastball, and then the couple splits that he got up, they were able to, you know, hit that ball hard somewhere. And they did a good job too, like hitting the ball at the opposite field. Mm-hmm. That was huge. Not trying to pull Gausman. I think that's where the success came from. It made him throw a lot of pitches. Those couple errors didn't help him at all, but it still made him throw a lot of pitches just by being patient at the plate.
Mm-hmm. So that's all you think it was? You think it was just, like, good approach? Because, like, the swing rate on the splitter this year is, like, some, like, 80% he gets swing and misses at when he gets the offering. And, like, they were just not swinging that at all. Like, because that's usually the book with the splitter, right, is, hey, just wait for the heater. But usually it's really tough to tell with his arm slot and the way that he releases it. And it seemed – so do you think that they didn't have anything, that was just their approach and that their general success against him?
I really don't think they had anything. I think that they were just selling out to the fastball and anything that was, you know, they picking up the rotation on that split finger and just not swinging at it. Because, you know, if you look at the numbers and look at the heat map and all the, you know, the scouting report, he doesn't throw that pitch for a strike a lot. He get a lot of swing and misses. So I think their mindset was like, we're not going to swing at that pitch because he's not going to throw it for a strike. And if he does throw it for a strike, we're just going to tip our cap to him. Mm. So I thought it was a really good game plan for them against Gausman. It was a really good game plan. They did a good job because he's been super nasty the last couple of years and a lot of swing and miss and 70% first pitch strikes. So he's pumping in a lot of strikes.
We also saw Berríos in action, who obviously had a lot of strikes, career high 13 on Saturday. What is it about him when he's going well that you like? Because he's had some ups and downs this season.
Yeah, coming in, they were talking about, well, his fastball, his slider, and his changeup. He's throwing them from three different arm angles, and that's what hitters have seen and this and that. And I'm like, I'm not buying that. Mm-hmm. I'm not buying it at all. Maybe he's tipping something, which obviously the Twins couldn't figure it out. The other teams have figured out. Mm-hmm. But he was super nasty. I just, you know, in my pregame, I just talked about how he hadn't been able to stick those fastballs, execute those fastballs where he needed to execute, be successful. Every time I look at the video, watching him go into a lefty or righty, he just wasn't quite getting there. Everything was like leaking back over the heart of the plate. And that's where the damage was coming in. And, you know, behind, guys don't have to swing at that nasty slider. But against the Twins, he was locked in. He threw some two-seam fastballs. They had a whole lot of run, probably about 13 to 16 inches of horizontal movement. And it was impressive. And it was, you know, I've known Barrios since he first was drafted by the Twins. And I wasn't mad that he had some success.
Yeah, he does seem like a guy like everybody roots for, and yeah, the two-seamers working for him, he actually mentioned it afterwards, like he was throwing a lot of strike fastballs, but not quality fastballs, and that those were getting touched up, and yeah, that was like the difference, was there was a slight uptick of velocity, but I think that you nailed it, where it was just like, hey, the movement on the two-seam was really working for him, and yeah, he was getting ahead in counts, he was dominating the zone, he looked awesome. That's the guy that Toronto gave the big money ticket to. Do you remember a time, though, where you saw him struggle like he had so far this season? Because again, yeah, you've seen him his entire career, and he showed this, like this season so far, it really has been a lot of tough early outings. There have been some numbers that have shown some fastball velocity dips. There's been a lot of hard contact rate. He's been getting barreled more. But you, like, do you remember seeing something like this when he started to get out of it? Like, what changed? Is it simply just that fastball location and how he throws the two seam differently?
I just think it boils down to his command. His command. If you're gonna go in to a lefty or righty, his command yesterday was when he missed closer to the body. He didn't miss over the heart of the plate, and that's a huge difference, man. And he was able to throw that two seamer in on the righties that looked like a strike, but ended up a ball. And you can see many times the Twins are swinging over top of that pitch. But he was just locked in yesterday, and hopefully he can continue to be locked in the rest of the season, because the kid can pitch. He can definitely pitch. And just like anything else, every position on the field, you're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to go through a period where you're going to struggle. And hopefully that was, you know, Barrios's, you know, he had his three or four starts where he struggled, and he's back locked in again.
Do you think the contract weighs on a guy like that at all? Because, like, he did get his first big money deal, and I wonder if it's hard for guys like him to adjust to that new climate.
You know what? Norman Barrios, I highly doubt it. He's going to compete. He competed when he was making $500,000. I know he's going to continue to keep whether he's making $15 to $28 million. It's not in him to, okay, now I've gotten paid, so I'm going to ease up. His competitive spirit isn't. He's not built like that. He's built to compete, and that's it. He just want to compete.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that he would all of a sudden give up. I mean, more just like the pressure of it, knowing now, like, you're an opening day starter for a team that has World Series aspirations, and now you've got the big ticket item. Like, how that actually does affect a lot of players, and especially a lot of pitchers, knowing, like, hey, there's, like, financial backing behind this now. It's such a different salary, such a different expectation level than what he would have been used to in his career.
Yeah, well, he's been on some good teams with the Twins also. Mm-hmm. Wasn't making the big money that he's making now, but he was making, you know, a few million dollars. But, you know, I just don't think that really has a, you know, a real effect on, you know, how he's going about his business and the pressure. You don't, you know, you create your own pressure, whether you're making a lot of money or not. You're pressed to go out there and, you know, be consistent and do well every time you're out there. So, you know, Barrios is, he's going to figure it out. And just like he did against his old team, he had a little extra adrenaline going against the Twins, and he was locked in. He made some really good pitches, man. And the thing is, like, when you go in the clubhouse, you talking the guys who saw him pitch over here, the guys who caught him, they're talking about how good his stuff was. They hadn't seen it like that before. So that's huge. That's big time to hear that they hadn't seen his stuff that good before.
Yeah, that is something. And speaking of former teams, again, we're talking to LaTroy Hawkins. So Russell Martin just retired. There's been a whole bunch of just Blue Jays news in general. Like Pilar ends up signing like a contract again. Jay Happ, who signed the year after you here in Toronto, but he ends up retiring. But Russell Martin in particular, I wonder if when you saw the news of his retirement, if you had any thoughts about him or just like made you kind of flash back to some of those moments from 2015.
I saw it on Instagram when he did the
jersey.
He had the different jerseys on. Yeah, and I just told him, you know, it was a pleasure sharing the field with him. Pleasure throwing to him. But he was, I had a great time, man. He was such a good catcher. You know, I mean, very athletic back there, could throw, could hit. And the little time I spent with him, I mean, he made me a better pitcher just by his overall leadership. And I'm just happy for him. That's what I told him. Enjoy retirement.
I think he's going to be fine. He's got that only new 39 drink. Years old. Yeah, he's got a new drink. He's got a young family. I think he's got a lot ahead of him. He'll have a career in baseball if he wants it. He'll have a ton. LaTroy, it's always fun catching up, man. Thanks so much for coming on, and good luck to your Twins, man.
All right, thank you.
Take care. That's LaTroy Hawkins, former big leaguer, former Blue Jays reliever, a guy who I don't think that there were a lot of expectations for when he came to Toronto, and then all of a sudden just became a big-time fan favorite and someone that you trusted, like, closing ball games, shockingly. And even when he did retire, because he retired after his 2015 year, mm-hmm. I remember a lot of people thinking, like, he would maybe run it back with the Jays or that he would come back, give one more year, do something. But, yeah, it is kind of funny. Like, I think about a guy like Russell Martin who is so – you heard Tim Leeper say it earlier, where it's like he's a hard guy to get a hold of. I wonder how many pitchers reached out to him over the course of his career. Wish I would have asked that question or thought about it to him, but like, what did your phone look like? What does your phone look like now? How do you do the reply to everybody thing?
Like, I think you just like, you thumbs up the message and say, thanks so much, or you heart the message.
Thumbs
like,
up?
Are you heart it?
So,
like,
no, that's
okay. Sorry, heart it, not thumbs up. But yeah, you know what I meant. Like, you acknowledge the message with the little like,
oh my God.
And then you say thanks so much. Like, it's going to be millions of messages. By the way, yeah. LaTroy Hawkins was our insider that was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. But yeah, I think that's tough to respond
thumbs
to
up.
Every single person. Wow. Like, when someone, you get a bunch of birthday messages, like where you write novels back, like.
No, but I think that you can, if you even just write back.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Even copy and paste. Mm-hmm. It was a pleasure sharing the field with you too. Nobody
copy and
know.
Paste is tough.
Yeah, why not? It's just thumbs up is, if I sent a colleague a retirement note, right? They retire. They decide that. Or I have a very personal milestone that they achieve and I send them a message that's heartfelt and they reply with thumbs up. I'm never speaking to that person
again. I said thumbs up and a thanks so much. Like, it does both. Acknowledges that you got it and a thanks so much.
Thumbs up.
I'm going to thumbs up you every day now.
You already do. You use thumbs up
every time
you
message me, boom, thumbs up. I think it's actually kind of passive aggressive now that I think of it. Sorry.
It's horrific. Like, when people write okay, that's bad. Okay. That's a horrible reply.
Not O-K-A-Y, just okay. It's the worst.
Yeah. And the letter O and the letter K is among the worst responses you can get in a text. It might as well be like a swear word directly.
F you.
But thumbs up is even worse than the okay. That's my contention here is that you use the thumbs up emoji, it's even worse than the okay. Like, under the circumstances, right? Like, it's sometimes you just need a quick acknowledgement for something in a group chat, whatever. Like, thumbs up. Hey, are we all going out to dinner here? Like, yep, whatever.
Okay, I will say a lot of times I'm responding on my Apple Watch and it's just like, boom, like quick, okay. Like a quick thumbs up, a quick okay.
So you're an elitist.
It's already programmed in there. Yeah. Okay, like, you scroll and it's just like, here's automated responses. And I go, okay.
Hey, I know your brother listens to the show from time to time. Jordy, you know, you message in 590-590. You hit up in the DMs if, like, your sister is brutal in the family.
Jordy doesn't text me. That's the problem.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, fine. Then he's
so he wouldn't even know. There's no responses. Our text message chain is
now,
empty.
Now I'm wondering if some people won't come on this show because when you got announced as the co-host and they sent you congratulatory messages.
Yeah, that's
and you
what
had
it was.
A phone and you had a phone full of Ailish, I always knew you could do this.
You go, girl.
We believed
okay.
in you so much. Okay, thumbs up. Yeah, that's all that they got from you. And that's just sitting there in your text message inbox. The worst is when you don't reply, though, at all, when you mean to, like, reply to something mm-hmm. heartfelt and you forget because you know you actually have to write something thoughtful back. Mm-hmm. And then, so I delete my texts. Like, I go through and I delete a bunch of them. I keep some, but for the most part, I just delete texts from people. And so sometimes I'll be going through my phone, deleting messages, deleting, 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 and then I'll see the message I got from someone where it's like, oh, my God, this was supposed to be something, like, I got back to. Like, my sister sending me a big thing about her business, and I'm like, whoops. You know, it's like,
I will
okay.
say, maybe it's worse is like if you have read receipts on and they see that you read it. Sometimes I do.
Yeah, that's psycho.
You know why? Because I'm holding myself accountable because there's times where I just like, I'm forgetting to respond to people. But if I know I have read receipts on, then I'm like, okay, I got to respond because they know that I looked at it.
I got to tell you, that's like, that's the best reason I've ever heard for read receipts.
No, it really does hold me accountable though. Like, I'm
yeah.
like,
I like that
hey, they
though,
know that,
you
that I read
hold
it.
Hold yourself accountable. Yeah. Except for then all you're doing for most part is not opening the message. Like, it's not exactly like there's a hard workaround for these things. And you know, when someone messages you that you don't want to reply to, like that you just keep it closed.
But then,
and then it's
sitting
almost
there.
An extra reason.
No. I'm the type of person that has no like little red circles that say you have 3,000 emails or like you have six unread messages. So like that little OCD means I have to open it. I have to respond. Yeah. So we have a couple texts in the text line saying
you
that
are
letter...
a brutal texter. Honestly, you're one of the worst texters I know. Like,
all
actually,
right.
Yeah, you're the worst. I would say that. So Jackie Redmond is in the worst texter Hall of Fame, but she's gotten way better. I was even joking with her about it the other day where I was like, you know what? You should be proud of how good of a texter you've become. And I know that she listens to this sometimes, and that's the only reason why I'm outing her as this.
I think it sounds like you are the reason that we just don't want to respond to you, JD. There's two people.
Why? Because I have two whole people on the planet that are bad texters? Mm-hmm. That's your sample? No, you're awful. You're actually the worst texter in the history of texting. You are a thumbs up queen. It takes you hours and hours to get back to things. And then when you do get back, you're too agreeable. Like, you're too agreeable in text. So it's like, you don't really know. You're like, is she good with this? Is she not good with this? You're the worst. I actually think that you're the worst texter who's ever lived. Like, it's true. Why are you running Text Line Tuesday? Like, who are you?
I respond to people in the text all the time. Am I
yeah,
very lovely?
I know what
so
I'm
it has
saying,
to do
though,
with you, I think, unfortunately.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's definitely your text style is brutal.
Okay, a couple of people do text in right now saying that what's worse is just the letter K.
Yeah, but letter K is actually a statement. You're making
a
statement like, yeah, you're in a fight when you say K. When you use the letter K, that's the end of an argument or the start of a new one. You know, it's like
you poke in the bear, I think.
Yeah.
Sure.
K. My favorite thing to do is be completely toxic and use K. And then someone gets mad at me for using K and going, what do you mean? I was agreeing with you.
Sorry. I just
yeah. Toxic.
Whatever,
stay toxic. Yeah, exactly. Oh, what a good toxic move. Yeah, you're awful.
Right.
Mostly that. Mostly just that Ailish Forfar. Worst texter I've ever known. I'm trying to think of, like, who's worse than you, and I honestly can't think of a single person. Like, Justin Bourne's kind of mad. Like, he's kind of bad. He's all over the place, but he has kids. Like, you know, he gets the use, and he's always overwhelmed, you know? He's like scatterbrained Jane over there.
Like, sorry,
he's
like, I missed this.
I didn't even really understand what was going on. Like, we were texting about Mika Zibanejad last night, and, like, they got one back, like, 4 hours later. And it was the same kind of thing where I could tell he just doesn't want to entertain my thing, so he just agrees with it. I'm like, yeah, you don't
see,
really
it's another you thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that one is.
There's three.
You think I'm the problem? I'm an elite texter. Just admit it.
I'm
on top of it. I'm responsive. I'm like
opening up our texts right now.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a smart texter. I'm a good texter.
You know what? This weekend I sent you a video of the wave. Wasn't that nice? Out of the blue, I thought, you know what? JD's going to like this. And I videotaped the wave and I sent it to you. And I thought that was nice.
Yeah,
No words were said. I just sent you the video. So.
I know you just, again, that's bad fine. Dexter. That's something my mom would do, is just send me a random video from a crowd and go, here's the thing, and then no editorializing of this whatsoever. Yeah, the wave you sent me was the most appropriate wave ever, though, where it was actually a blowout baseball game where you're mm-hmm. still sticking around and you're drinking and you're boozing and you don't want to leave early. You paid for your ticket. You want to watch mm-hmm. the Jays mash more home runs. You start doing the wave. You do the wave around. You said it made 7 laps.
Oh, it would not quit. And it was very in sync, which is the thing. I think if you're going to have the wave, you got to be all in, like 500s, 200s, 100s, all going in sync. It was an elite wave. But then, okay, we started going 6, 7, 8 laps. And I'm like, you know, when does this end? And who is the person that stops? Like, what
How many
section?
Laps did you do?
I did about 3.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I was in it, you know, having a good time. The thing was, I sat on the side where the blaring sun was in my eyeballs the entire time, and I had obviously put sunscreen on, but it was getting, like, uncomfortably hot. Like, I understand why people get pretty lit in those sections, because you are dehydrated by the second the game begins, and you're crushing beers, and your body is just a... Going through your veins is beer, and it's just a tough, it's hot and sticky up there. But I got ice cream, which is the first time I've ever done that at a Blue Jays game. You know, in the little upside down hat?
Of course. It's amazing.
It was so fun. It was really nice. I've never done that before.
Did you keep the cap?
No, I didn't keep the cap.
You threw it out, eh? You're just such an elitist. it's nothing to you. It's trash. No, somebody here is just like garbage. The sun, whenever it gets this way, whenever it starts to get like those scorcher of a days that just beat down on the diamond, I always think about like the Blue Jays support staff, like the janitorial staff and everybody having to be like, okay, everybody, like gear up, strap
up.
This is our day. We're going to have people pass it out of the concourse. There's going to be people puking in the concourse. It's going to be gross.
Drive those little golf carts around with the sirens. They're ready to rumble.
I have never gone a year to the Blue Jays, like to the ballpark, and not seeing people pass out on the first hot day, or see the massive puke blocked off area where the person just has to show up there and just start rolling and ride. Yeah. Well, it just sucks. You got to mix in some waters, people. You got to wear sunscreen. You got to wear a ball cap. Like, you got to manage the sun. You got to mix it in and out of the core, like concourse. You got to go into the concrete graveyard where it feels like all shade and gross, and just have a beer with someone up there, or have a water, mix one in, do something. Because, like, every single year this happens over and over and over again. You get the people that are out there. It is – why is it that we love – not love. I maybe shouldn't say it that strongly, but love. When you see someone who has, like, a big-time sunburn brewing – and you look back and you go,
look at
that guy. The worst is when you say it to your friends. No one should ever tell their friends that they have a sunburn, because it's already too late. Mm-hmm. So there's no point. You're not doing anything other than making them feel self-conscious and upset that they're burnt. It's too late. You say it either early. Hey, do you have sunscreen? Hey, do you want some sunscreen? Or you say nothing at all. Let them be burnt. Don't ever say.
The next day they text you saying, I got roasted. And you're like, really? Wow.
Whoops. I didn't know. I didn't notice.
You know, another thing I noticed at the Jays game on Saturday was it was Bachelor and Bachelorette Party Central.
It's season
of the Bachelorettes and Bachelors, and a lot of custom jerseys that say, like, groom, you know, everyone's last names. And they're all I wondered your take on that. If it's like, would you be having a bachelor party at the Jays game and then continuing your night? I saw so.
It's too long. It's too long. And it's just, I've done it before with guys. It's just, it's too, you get pretty drunk in the sun in the middle of the day at a Blue Jays game, and you're just like pounding drinks the entire time. And the last time I did it, someone brought in like a big container. I shouldn't even say this, because
you're allowed to bring
in
stuff, right?
Yeah, food, but not food laced with alcohol the entire time. So
what they bring, like
watermelon, Jello shots. You're not on today. No, it's watermelon booze soap. But anyways, everyone was just bombed at the end of the day, and then we had to go do another activity, and then it's like the day sort of started peter out. Like, dudes were starting to drop, and then like the hit rate for the bar later was a little sketchier. Ooh. Anyway, it just didn't work out as well. Like, I think that if you're day drinking, you got to go like all day and you got to pace yourself and you got to go well. And just Jay's game just,
I did see a lot of people going from bachelor party to the Saturday night Zach Brown Band concert. That is a commitment. I don't know how long you made it, but that's a lot of sun and drinking.
Good for those
congrats
people,
to them.
And standing
that was
on
one
a hill.
Of you.
Like, congrats to the future players of the Wake and Rake. Winners tonight. Let's go. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, presented by Unibet. JD and Ailish, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
He's making it rain sunflower showers in the dugout. Teoscar Hernandez and the Toronto Blue Jays play here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of actors.
Show me the money!
With JD, Blake, and Ailish.
Wake up, you piece of shit!
You know what time it is. It's Wake and Rake time. Brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Big sports night again. No hoops. I am in a spot where we forgot to throw the basketball into the Wake and Rake discussion on Friday. Which is too bad because I actually did like the Celtics. Not to win outright, but I liked them on the spread. I'm happy that they do it this way because it is the finals and I want everybody healthy, but it does feel like a marathon waiting for these games now. Like, it's like 3 days in between all these basketball games. I'm just like, come, can we just please? Like, what? Who's getting healthier at this point? Like, Robert Williams, like, he's hurt. Like, Time Lord's not coming back and being at 100%. Klay Thompson is not going to get a time machine. I guess
there's
Gary
only so
Payton,
many ice baths you can take to heal yourself.
it's like, okay, cool. They played last night. Now they don't play again until Wednesday. Wednesday. That's next year. Honestly, summer's over by the time the Warriors play their next game. That was a fun one last night, though, Blake. I know that you got to just like, yesterday was perfect because they play the hockey game early. Yesterday was just staggered beautifully, by the way.
Beautiful.
Jay's game starts. Jay's game's over by the time the Rangers game starts. And there's that little brief moment of, oh, my God, the Jays game isn't over during the Rangers game. And you're thinking, yes, oh, my God, this is going to happen. I thought we were seeing a miracle comeback last night. Like, I really did. I thought it was going down. When Lourdes got on base after the home run, I went, this is going down. Something's going to happen special here. And Danny starts the count 2-0, right? And it's a 2-0 count. And I think either he's going to piece one up or if they put one in the dirt here, he's not going to swing. He might just draw a walk. Either way, Bo gets up, just kind of disappointing. But whatever. I thought it was going to be a comeback. And then the hockey game ends, and it's beautiful. Great hockey game. But it doesn't go to overtime. So you get that little moment where you get to like
break.
Make a dinner, do your thing, have a little break. And then watch a perfect basketball game through three quarters that actually was perfect because it also was done by the fourth quarter. We already had a classic, but for this show, go to sleep on time early. Just honestly, yesterday, other than it being summertime and wanting to be outside every time you turn your head and see the sun through a window, that's about as perfect as a sports day as it gets.
It was great. It was staggered so beautifully like you laid out. I know the Jays didn't complete the comeback, so you didn't get your Coward's Parlay coming through on that one, but
blame the sun. Blame the sun. The sun's at fault for that. No sun. If we just got rid of the sun, the Jays would probably win that baseball game. Just saying.
Yeah.
Sun owes me money. Sun should pay out all
parlays. First time any of those players have played on a sunny day before.
I know.
So you
know,
got to give them a ramp up.
You know, even better for my viewing experience yesterday is I got an air conditioning unit delivered, and I found a way to get out on the patio without the $500 certified check that was required. So I was able to stream using Rogers Ignite while I got some sun. So win-win-win for my Sunday was absolutely incredible for me.
You gotta love how Ailish is bragging about how she doesn't have to pay $500 to sit on the patio.
You know,
she's like, guys,
I peer pressured the guy at the front desk. I said, this is insane, and I showed him all of the DMs from the simp saying that I should be able to do this.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Okay, I was going to say.
Sorry, I missed the story here. Why are you not allowed on your patio?
Oh, don't worry about it. They thought that. Yeah, basically, they said that you need a $500 certified check to exit and sit on the patio every time you wanted to go outside as like an insurance policy of like, I don't even know. It was absolutely absurd. And we don't have air conditioning in our building for 4 weeks.
They think Ailish is going to throw one of the barbecues over the ledge. They're worried that she's going to just start chucking.
It was outrageous. Yeah.
The idea that you need to pay an additional $500 on top of your rent and like you pay first and last and things like that, that's bizarre.
Anyway, I got my way through it. I weaseled my way. So everything's good.
Yeah,
you weaseled your way to the thing you're already
paying for.
Weasel
my way.
Yeah. I like that, though, too, that you're okay with it. You're proud of yourself for getting access to the area that you're supposed to have access in. You feel like a great sense of pride for that. Yeah,
do you have
awesome.
To pay like a toonie every time you use your own bathroom, too? Is it one of those like, coin-operated ones like down at the lake?
You turn on the taps and it's like a taxi cab fare starts running up underneath the mirror like ding, 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 ding. By the way, have you guys gotten in a taxi like at all in the last 2 years?
No, you know why? Because I got scammed.
Oh,
someone
yeah.
Someone took my taxi credit card information. It quick side note is I took a taxi one night and because I didn't have cash, I got in the taxi and I said, excuse me, sir, I do not have cash. Can I pay with a card? Because sometimes you get in, they get mad.
Which is hilarious that I ask the cabbies the same question where I'm like, you guys are up on credit cards, right? Like you guys have machines and they're like, yeah, we got them.
And so I took the cab home and it was a little bit later in the evening and he hands the machine back to me and I put the card in, I type in my PIN and it said error. And so he takes the console back to the front seat and takes out my debit card and puts in an exact BMO debit card, hands it back to me. And he's like, it went through.
He scammed you.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Listen to this. So then I go inside, whatever. I wake up the next morning. I'm not checking my bank receipts in the morning. Long story short, the next day I look and all of my money had been withdrawn from my account, every single last dollar, because when he took the machine.
As if your bank wouldn't notify you that on that. Like, whoever does. I took out every last dollar I had.
It recorded my PIN, obviously. Like, this machine he had is like, it took the PIN and he had my actual debit card so he could go to the ATM and withdraw the money without it, like, it's not like he went to use it as a credit card. He took all the money out. Anyway, long story short, I had to do like a police report. And I got all the money back. And it's just like, be aware when you go into a taxi cab that could happen to you.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm not. And this is no offense to you, Ailish. No offense. No offense. But do you not – like, here's how I would have interpreted that situation is if someone scammed me like that, I'd be like, wow, I look like someone who can get scammed. You know, like that guy, he saw you and was like
– When I had to do the police report, they said this has happened. Uh-huh. Like, this was before the pandemic.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with, like, that's what the cops said, too. I went in to file a police report, and they were like, you look like a girl who gets scammed.
No, they were saying, this was a very common thing that was happening, and not to feel like it was nice just me. It was happening quite a lot. And then I looked it up, and it was in the news.
I'd feel even worse.
It was in the news that it was happening
a lot.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and you trust the news always.
Yeah, you got it.
Anyway, so just be aware that that could happen to you and that I haven't taken a taxi ever since was the point.
The point of that was really ended up being a crazy side tangent story about Ailish getting scammed.
Well, you asked if I ever took a taxi, and I'm saying I'm not ever taking one again.
But so I've gotten in a couple recent, like I've gotten in a couple thinking, oh, this will be cheaper than an Uber because I'm sure that these guys have brought the rates down in order to compete, right? Like there's probably a value now because Uber's just always surge charging you to death, right? Like it'll be like, I don't know, 3 a.m. on Sunday. And then you're like, oh, I'll use an Uber. And they go, surge pricing. There's a high demand right now, 3 a.m. on Sunday. People are trying to get in the Ubers right now, buddy. It's surging. It's surging. I'm going, okay, how many is a surge? It's like if two people are in an Uber at once, is surge pricing? So I go, I got to figure cabs have a little bit of value right now. Maybe there's a little value. Wrong. Cabs are dreadful. You get in a cab, ding, 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 ding. I went like four blocks and it was like $800. I could not believe it. These guys just, they don't care. They're just basically like, yep, you know what? No one takes these anymore anyways. So when you get in, you're in the trap. Like you have no idea what you're in for, but they will take you for a ride. It is outrageous what these dudes are doing. And I know gas is through the roof, so I guess that we have to account for this, but I don't care. Cabbies, couldn't figure anything out. I got no sympathy. All right. It's Wake and Rake time presented by Unibet. We don't have odds. Or Blake, you have what was the money line? The Jays game has been taken off the board temporarily, but we have Ole Strip tonight. We got the Stripling game, which means that the total I saw was at 9.5 when I saw that it was up. He's playing Daniel Lynch, who has an ERA of almost 5 as well, and who doesn't exactly have the prettiest strikeout numbers. So I'm assuming that this is going to stay at 9.5. I'm going to guess that the first 5 is actually going to be at 5.5, if not 4.5 for the Toronto Blue Jays. But what did you see the money line action at?
Yeah, Jays were -167 before it came down. So pretty heavy favorite when you consider that it's a bullpen arm starting for you. And I know Stripling's been better than that, but that's a pretty big vote of no confidence in Daniel Lynch, who in a small sample has gotten lit up by the Jays, who will be active today, and a vote of no confidence in Kansas City Royals offense, who have a sub-300 OBP right now.
Sub-300 is not great. I was going to say, though, this is actually the kind of start that I love Stripling in. Like, Stripling always goes one of two ways, which is he pitches extremely well, and the expectation for him is that he gets... This is the better way of putting this. I think oftentimes people expect Stripling, because he's the sixth starter, to come in and get shelled like normal sixth starters would, but he's not a bum. He's actually pretty competent. And so whenever he goes in there and he has a start where he gives up like 3 or less over 5 innings, everyone kind of has the Stripling appreciation moment. And I would say that that's my general feel on a night like tonight, because those Kansas City bats are so quiet. Like, even guys who historically, like the names you're kind of afraid of, like Whit Merrifield, he's having a brutal year. He's been awful. Like, Sal Perez, awful. Like, the only scary bats in their lineup have not been doing anything this year. The only guy that's terrifying is Benintendi. That's the one dude you got to get around, and you're almost kind of rooting for him to be good because you're kind of thinking maybe he's going to be a Blue Jay this year.
Mm-hmm. Also, small samples here, but Benintendi's 0 for 5 against Stripling in his career with a walk. Nobody on Kansas City has good numbers against Stripling in a bunch of small samples, except for Nicky Lopez, who tripled off him once. You don't have that either. And like, yeah, some of those are probably Stripling coming out of the bullpen. But you're right, JD, that he gets a little, I think, underappreciated because of the role. And there are some assumptions that come in with that kind of thing. So I don't know. He's been pretty cromulent, pretty stable when he comes in and starts for the Jays. He's made 5th.
Cromulent. JD, spell that one.
It's a Simpson.
He had a spelling bee earlier on. Yeah, that spelling bee.
You had a spelling bee?
Yeah. Go back and listen to the 6:30 block of the Fan Morning Show, and you get to hear JD's spelling bee.
She's like, I'm only going to give you words I've heard before, and she started with syzygy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Exactly.
Hey, Blake, can you spell that?
Moving on. Stripling's made 26 starts as a J, which seems wild. That seems too high. A couple of those were like de facto opener starts, but 13 of his starts, he's gone 5 innings or more. So even including those opener type games, he's gone 5 innings in half of his starts for the Jays, playing this swingman role. I think you can be pretty confident against a Kansas City team that he's going to give you at least a competitive 4 innings. 19 of those 26 starts, he's gone at least 4 full. I think he's perfectly fine. And again, Kansas City's bats are unspeakably bad.
So I don't know what the number is, but if the number is 5.5 in the first 5, I'd be terrified because the Jays' bats are red hot. They're just like turning it up. But this actually might be a night where I take a peek at something like the Kansas City under, because maybe it's inflated by a run or two because it is Stripling. And then you actually end up looking at it and say there could be value there. So that's probably the area that I'd be looking for value tonight, is Royals under. The scary part is, I still don't know how you really evaluate the bullpen and kind of like the bridging of the bullpen here, which is if Stripling starts to run into trouble in the 4th inning, which is very probable.
No Stripling come in and save Stripling.
Yeah, I don't know what they do there. Like, I don't really know what the bridge is. Are they going to end up going to Trent Thornton? Are they what do you think it is, Blake?
Yeah, I think Trent Thornton's probably that guy. I think he's probably tabbed as the piggyback guy today. They try to get 2 out of. Jeremy Beasley could be that guy eventually. They used him for bulk innings on Friday and Sunday. The one thing that saves
him
here
pitching yesterday,
is
I don't think so.
No. I mean, in like moving forward. But I could also see them optioning Beasley down today to get a fresh arm up in the pen. There's been some rumblings that Thomas Hatch could come up and get tried out of the bullpen. Tim Mays is throwing a rehab assignment on Tuesday in Buffalo, and He threw a 21-pitch bullpen on Friday. So he's close. So you get reinforcements there. I think the one saving thing for the bullpen here, Romano and Jimmy Garcia haven't pitched in almost a week. Those guys are really rested. And I think everyone but Beasley would be available today if needed, because no one's pitched 2 days in a row. Simber and Phelps pitched yesterday, but they hadn't pitched a couple days before that. Getting out of this stretch of every game's a one-run game really makes the bullpen look a lot easier to manage. Shocker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was honestly one of my biggest takes today, which is just like the Barrio start, the way that he performed, you went, oh, right. If the starting pitchers that they pay a ton of money to go deep into ball games, the bullpen isn't going to be as big of an issue as it has been, right? Like that's part of the equation of paying these big-time starting pitchers, is that they're supposed to be able to bring you to the eighth inning sometimes. You know, like Manoah isn't supposed to be the only one. And Gausman, obviously, yesterday was a nightmare, but it is weird. Gausman hasn't gotten past the sixth in three of his last four starts. I don't know if that's like an is this anything or if that's a something, but it is noticeable at least that he hasn't given them the depth that he was giving them at the very beginning of the year, and that this has happened a couple of times. Not as noticeable on the bullpen yesterday, obviously, because, like, again, it was a blowout game where they weren't expecting to get back into it until that ninth inning. But either way, it's something that I wonder what we're going to be saying next time Gausman comes through and he's facing a pretty bad Detroit Tigers team, if another one of these starts happens where he's not able to go deep into a ball game. So anyway, I think that there's some value in looking at the Kansas City Royals under here tonight. Blake just said why. You have Ross Stripling, who's been better than expected, who probably gets a number that's bumped up because he's a sixth starter by the books. Again, because he won't have a ton of public confidence. And you've got a rested bullpen. It does seem like a bit of recipe for success for the Blue Jays pitchers tonight. We don't have any props yet, so I'm going to move on to the hockey game. The Oilers are short dogs. I guess the thought process here is that they're going to give a pretty good punch and not want to get swept, because they're only plus 115. The Avalanche minus 139. The total sits at 7 still. Now there's at least juice or plus money that you're getting on the over. The over 7 is plus 112. And the puck line is minus 1.5 for the Colorado Avalanche. Blake, Ailish thinks that they close it out tonight. I'm kind of hopeful about the Oilers, but I think that I might be looking at it through a content perspective where I'm going, I would really like another couple of days of being able to talk about the Oilers. Where are you at with tonight's game?
Well, I don't know. Have you recovered from the anger about Cody Ceci? God forbid you point out he had a shaky game the other night. No, I would like the Oilers to extend this. I think closing out a team in a sweep on the road is difficult, right? Like, this team's going to come out and have some pride to it. It's tough with Kane being out. I guess Kadri's out on the other side, though, right? Like, is that confirmed? Kadri's not playing tonight?
Yeah, yes, Kadri's out for the whole series. Kane said he hurt his hand. He was apparently in a cast when he left. So I think, reading between the lines of what Kane probably heard on the ice and the report that Kadri left in a cast, that he's got a broken hand. That's my guess.
I saw a report that it was like a broken thumb possibly as well. Yeah. Hand, thumb.
Okay,
all
so I think those two things, you know, not exactly even out, but you those come out in the wash a little bit.
I think it's so much worse for Edmonton. I really do. In this situation, just because Kadri, like, their team is so deep, right? They've had so many good players show up. Edmonton's so incredibly top-heavy. This tonight,
Kadri's just played like a pretty important.
He's been amazing.
Like, you talk about
amazing.
Kane has
top
the most
heavy.
Goals in the playoffs, though.
I know, but I look at Kadri's defensive role that they've used for all season, really, but in this series as well, and that's one where I'm like, does
it's
it
a fair
come
point.
Out?
It's a fair point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but either way, I would give a slight lean to Edmonton. It's tough to close a team out with a sweep on their own ice if that team has any amount of, you know, pride and force to them. And I think Edmonton has shown us enough so far in the playoffs. I'd give a slight lean there.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I would give a slight lean to the under again, just because I think that they're going to try and replicate a little bit of what they've been doing for the last couple of games, which is play a tighter defensive game. I think that they are completely aware that the one way they don't really want to lose tonight is getting bombed off the ice, having a night where they give up a ton of goals and everyone is saying to them, who cares about your run to the Western Conference Finals? You can't defend well enough to win a Stanley Cup. Like, that would be the narrative I'm trying to avoid if I'm them. I think that their best path to victory is actually still that as well. Like, I think if they open it up, then they're opening up Mike Smith to a bunch of opportunities against. And as we've seen, like, I feel bad for Mike Smith because he's the only reason that they were even in that last game, right? He's just making stop after stop after stop. But then if you just keep leaning on Mike Smith, he's going to let in bad goals. Like, we've seen this every single game of the series so far. He's not that guy who can completely shut the door against a team like Colorado. Not like many can. I'm not expecting him to be Shesterkin or Vasilevsky on the other side, but boy, oh boy, he has just let in a stinker every single freaking night of this series. And I don't really see how that changes in this one. So I would say that just like from a value standpoint, I think the lean is going to be a slight under, especially if one of these two teams scores early. I think there's value on betting the live under, like, because usually then you'll see like 7.5, maybe 8. And I would be viewing something like that, see how the early part of the game goes. Maybe not setting that bet early. But yeah, I'm on the Oilers tonight. It's not like a strong confidence bet, I'll admit it. This is literally like a lean and just more of a fun play for me. This is going to be a cheap, small half-unit bet where I just want to have a little skin in the game for the Oilers, cheer for my Oilers, even though, yes, Blake, the fan base turned against me because I thought that maybe they would want to upgrade their blue line after they
were
getting hemmed in. Like, their defense core has been awful this series. Like, truly, truly, truly bad. And I didn't include Darnell Nurse in that because, yeah, they had a no-brainer decision to re-sign him. And I don't know how hurt he is, what the degree of injury is with hurt Nurse. It's obviously a lot. I'm guessing that he's going
to
have some type of
surgery
the second this thing's over.
Yeah,
I just... Still, like, at some point, too, that... Okay, this is my thing with guys being hurt in the playoffs, is... If you're that hurt, then don't play. Like, it's the playoffs. Everybody's got something going on. And if you're playing as poorly as he is, then don't play. Like, it can't get much worse than what Darnell Nurse is giving them every single night, where he's a turnstile and a turnover machine behind their own net. So I don't know. I don't like the whole a guy plays a game and then you're not allowed to evaluate him because he says he's hurt and the team says he's hurt and we can see he's hurt. It's like, well, which is it? Like, do we get to evaluate the player or not? Because like, it can't just be all, wow, way to go, player who's playing through an injury and hurting his team every single night. Like, it can't be that way. So anyway, I'm going to lean with the Oilers here. I think that just McDavid, I got to have one McDavid win, okay? Like, I just have to see this guy win one game, and I think that Colorado wins in front of their home ice. I just think that's the way that this plays out. So I'll lean Colorado. Ailish leans out. Is this going to be your wake and rake pick, Ailish?
I have a wake and rake pick regarding this game. Okay, I like the over on shots on goals. So the last three games, it's currently at 70.5. So they got 84, 64, and 72. But to further give you my reason, I'm going to do Avs over 37.5 shots. And the reason why is because they have hit it every single time. I think that they know the goaltending is not as strong as it should be. So they're going to put pucks on nets. They had 43, 40, and 47 shots so far this series. So clearly over the over each time. It's at -112. That's going to be my awake and rake pick. I was going to do the full over, but I really just feel confident about the Avs and their offensive power. So Avs over 37.5 shots. That's my awake and rake pick.
Okay, mine is going to be another first five under. I actually kind of like the first five over. I was going to zag, but this is one that I'm going to play. Robbie Ray has been terrible this year, and everybody is clowning and dunking on Robbie Ray and saying the Blue Jays won the trade for these two players. And I like Robbie Ray. I don't like the idea that when a guy leaves town, everybody starts dancing on their grave when they're pitching poorly. If you look at Robbie Ray's track record against the Astros, there's really only one guy that he struggled against. That's Altuve. It's a pretty important guy. He's got like a good sample against them. But now I'm putting him in there against the lefties, and it nullifies some of the Brantley stuff. The Astros lineup isn't that scary to me. So for first five innings, I took this guy already, and he has done me very well this season because he's been an absolute masterpiece. But Christian Javier, I'm sorry, I keep
Javier?
Getting his name wrong, but Javier, there we go. Old Javier, in his short stint as a pitcher against the Mariners, and again, there's a decent sample because he's pitching in the division, he's been good against these guys. My guy Ty France, who's the scariest bat on that team, is only hitting 143 and 7 ABs against this dude. Nobody's really done well against Javier. So I just kind of like this as a first five under play. 4.5 runs is a little high. Robbie Ray's a little inflated. I believe in the Robbie Ray. I think that a lefty does well against the Astros usually. Like, they're not as good against left-handed pitching. So, yeah, I'm going to roll with this under. 4.5 runs, it's minus 118, so lock me in for that.
All right, like that one. Robbie Ray's been better than his ERA suggests, too. I'm going Hunter Green over 6.5 strikeouts against
Hunter
Arizona.
Hunter Green.
Yeah, our guy. Fastball slider. Hunter Green is striking out 12 batters per 9. Arizona strikes out more than any team in baseball other than the Atlanta Braves. Your concern would be Hunter Green has an average 5 innings a start, and if he gets the early hook, he doesn't have room to get the strikeouts. But Arizona has a very poor offense overall, sub-300 OBP, only .216 batting average. As a team, there's not a lot on the board with only 6 MLB games tonight, only 5 of which we have a line for. So Hunter Green over 6.5 strikeouts.
Okay, so the parlay is plus 550. So you heard all that. Ailish likes the output for the Avalanche tonight. She thinks that the Oilers are choking dogs. They're not going to fight for their playoff lives. She just thinks they're going to lay down in the streets and die in front of those Rockets fans.
My abs.
I like an interdivisional contest and a little bit of a tighter ball game. Some bad numbers for the Mariners hitters against this young pitcher for the Astros, and Robbie Ray bounce back and Blake Murphy. Just like betting Hunter Green, who, you know, we got to see this year. Absolute
stud.
Strikeouts over 6.5. Plus 550 for that.
And he doesn't have to face Bo Bichette today.
Yeah. That is the Wake and Rake, again, presented by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. We'll see you tomorrow.